Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 12th day of February 2025. Before I introduce my two guests for today and the topic ahead of us, I just want to make sure that you mark down on your calendars a very important program that I am airing tomorrow with my longtime friend Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. We are going to be addressing for the first time on this program Stephen Lawson, a biblical evaluation of a modern-day Christian hero to many who fell into scandalous sin and remains hidden from public scrutiny. That's going to be the first hour of the program. And depending upon how things go, we will eventually be addressing in the second hour Paula White, a biblical evaluation of a dangerous heretic who has the ear of the President of the United States. So mark that down on your calendar for tomorrow, Thursday, February 13th, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm sure it will be a time of edification as Justin Peters does an extraordinary job thoroughly researching every issue upon which he speaks publicly. So I am looking forward to having Justin back on the show. But today we have a program that I'm looking forward to conducting because I happen to not only love First Love Ministries, but am indebted to the founder, Joe Jackowitz, and the team of First Love Ministries for live streaming this program, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, every day on First Love Radio. But they're having a conference coming up in Baghdad, Florida, and we have two of the speakers at this conference. We've already had a couple of the speakers on a previous broadcast, but today we have Paul Nelson, who is an author and president of Grace Bible University, and we also have Joshua Wollnoffer, pastor of Klondike Church of Pensacola, Florida, and we are going to be addressing the family of God and also recovering the church from the rubble of culture. But first of all, let me welcome back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Paul Nelson. Hello, Paul.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for being on.
Looking forward to talking about our conference.
Amen. And also, for the very first time, I'd like to introduce to you Pastor Joshua Wollnoffer of Klondike Church of Pensacola, Florida. It's great to have you on for the first time, brother.
Chris, it's truly my honor. Thank you so much. Great to be with you and Dr. Nelson today. Really a wonderful opportunity.
Well, Paul, let me start with you. If you could give us a brief explanation of Grace Bible University.
Grace Bible University. It's primarily geared towards third world countries, and there's such a dearth of doctrine and the and the pastors need a lot of resources, a lot of equipment. I mean, not equipment, equipping them and teaching them sound doctrine. So Grace Bible University came out of that, and we were teaching separate courses, and then we developed a curriculum. And now we have a full 2-year curriculum for an associate degree that we have. I think we have 100 students in Nepal. We have right now about 35 in the Philippines, and then we're in Nigeria and Nairobi. And so it's getting resources into their hands. We have full courses. Every course has study guides, and we have to translate the textbooks and the study guides into different languages, and then we go out and teach the courses, as well as train men to teach the courses as well. So it's starting to really grow and explode right now. It wasn't really such a big operation a few years back, but now it's getting bigger and bigger.
Well, how do our listeners? We do have a global audience. How do they get more information about Grace Bible University?
I guess the easiest way would be to go to the First Love website, and there's a connection there to Grace Bible University.
That's firstloveministries.org.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And now, Pastor Joshua Wallnoffer, tell us about Klondike Church of Pensacola, and also explain the very interesting name.
You got it. So we were originally named after the ice cream bar. Not quite. Everyone thinks that. No, our church actually was founded in 1907. And it's not Klondike, Alaska. It's not from the Klondike Gold Rush or the ice cream bar. The community here, actually, it's a very small community, at least when I came 20 years ago, and it is called the Klondike Community, and the road our church is on is Klondike Road. And so, hence, it predates the ice cream bar, but the church adopted the name geographically.
And this joke I'm about to tell is probably predating you, because you look a lot younger than me, but is it true that Klondike cat always catches his mouse? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? That was a cartoon in the 60s and 70s when I was a little boy that I used to watch, Klondike Cat. And that was the theme. Klondike Cat always catches his mouse. But anyway, tell us.
I'm going to Google it. Check it out.
So tell us about Klondike Church in greater depth, your theological positions, and so on.
Absolutely. So I've been blessed to be pastor here for 20 years. The church, when I came, it was kind of a replant situation, but that language wasn't really being used at that era. Flash revitalization, kind of a combination of the two. The church was, unfortunately, just to give you an idea, I was pastor 33, and the church was founded in 1907. So that'll give you an idea of the average tenure of a pastor.
Wow.
And there were many interims in between. So,
do you have any explanation for that?
Well, it was a hard environment to pastor here. In fact, the first so many years, it was a very rural area. And so, you know, they were only having services maybe once or twice a month for the
wow.
20 years of church.
Just out of curiosity, was it ever a primitive Baptist church, because they're known for that sometimes, to have services once a month?
It was not. Actually, it was originally founded as Missionary Baptist Church, most interestingly, and then they changed the name to Klondike about 20 years in. So, but we do have a few primitives around here in this community that do that very thing.
Well, as we have accustomed to do on the show, whenever we have a first-time guest, which would include you, not Paul. Paul's been on the program before. But since you are a first-time guest, we would love for you to provide for our listeners a summary of your salvation testimony that would include the religious atmosphere in which you were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
would be honored to share that for sure. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, and
not far from where I'm sitting right now. It's only about 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours at the most from here. Carlisle, Pennsylvania, that is.
Yeah. And of course, that's a tough city. Still is a very tough city, very broken city. And so many of those effects were apparent in my life as well as a child. I was very blessed to have a grandfather and grandmother who loved the Lord, and a grandfather who had a heart for evangelism. So that was a light shining in the darkness in my life. And they definitely invested in my life as a young person. In the same way, though, my family was unfortunately very much in bondage to alcoholism. And there was a lot of drug use and things like that growing up in the immediate family, which was really hard. Had a mother who knew the Lord, and very thankful for her and bringing me to church on her own for many years. But a lot of heartache, had a lot of loss of life, even of people very close to me, including an uncle, due to these things. But by God's grace, I was invited and sent to a camp. And it was by, and actually it's kind of a unique situation. It's like a cowboy camp by a Scottish evangelist. You may know the name since you're not too far away. His name is John Bissett. Peter and John Radio Fellowship in Baltimore, Maryland, many years ago, and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ there, a very clear gospel.
Any relation of David Bissett, who is an evangelist and missionary?
Yeah, he is related to them. I can't recall exactly how the relation, but we've had contact before. And by God's kindness, not only do I know that I had trusted in Christ and was saved, but also the sermon that I still recall it. It was a clear call to the ministry. And I knew that as a very young man, not only was I trusting in Christ, but that the Lord was calling me to pastoral work kind of all at once, which I can't really explain other than, you know, but God's kindness and his calling. So was converted then, and as soon as possible, the church I was in was going through a lot of struggle. I was attending, and was very hungry to grow and learn. And in fact, we're a Reformed Baptist church at Klondike, and you know, we're a creedal confessional church, and those things were pretty much unheard of in that world that I was in. And on top of that, I remember very clearly attending the adult Bible study in the church. And I had asked the Bible study leader just a question about the word election as a young teenager. And he told me that word ruins churches. You're not going to find it in the Bible. And you know, don't worry about these things. And of course, when you tell a teenager that, they're going to plow in. And by God's grace, was able to start really studying the Bible. In God's providence, I love how the Lord worked. He had me go to an Assembly of God church for about a year, which was its own seminary as a young teenager, where I had some good and had some loving people there, and then also had some pretty bad towards the end of it as some of these revivalistic movements were sweeping through the country, and they were trying to bring that in there. And I knew in my spirit this was not of God. And so the Lord, in his kindness, at 17, I was able to leave Baltimore. Very grateful to have that opportunity to get out of that city at that time, because it just wasn't a great situation, really. Not a great place to be in. And he gave me the opportunity to go to Philadelphia College of the Bible. Was there, got to meet my wife at that school, again, another kindness of God, and served for 2 years in South Jersey in pastoral work before coming down here to Pensacola, Florida. And just in God's goodness, you know, he's given me an opportunity to do not only serve as a pastor here, but really have a pretty diverse reach in our community, which has been a really beautiful thing, with homeless ministries and recovery ministries in our association of churches. and also teaching at a Seminario Reformado Latino Americano in Colombia and now all throughout Latin America. And I'm just very thankful for God's grace. It's hard to believe. Come from Baltimore, come from a lot of hurt and heartache, and to see his kindness to us.
Now, did you discover the doctrines of sovereign grace at Philadelphia College of the Bible?
So the church I was at, the first church I mentioned, they actually had a split over this very issue. And you may know the name Jerry Marcellino.
Oh, yeah. Auburn Avenue Bible Church.
Yeah. He was actually an assistant pastor at the time when that split happened. And so I've got to talk to him and connect with him 10 years later as an adult, and I'm very thankful for him. But when that Sunday school teacher had told me, don't worry about it, I had actually went and the brand new MacArthur Study Bible was out. And so I think it had just been published, and I bought one of those things and was warned against it and just started digging in. And by God's grace, was able to see his sovereignty. I did have some great professors at what was then PCB that were in fact like 4-point Calvinists, and they were, they were maybe not so confessional, they were definitely great, faithful brothers and very helpful in seeing God's sovereign grace.
Well, tell our listeners your website so that they can investigate Klondike Church of Pensacola, Florida, and if indeed they live in that area or are visiting that area, or have family, friends, and loved ones in that area.
Absolutely. So our website is lovepensacola.org.
Love Pensacola, L-O-V-E, Pensacola.org.
Yeah, we chose that just to be a very evangelistic website and an easy open door, because looking up Klondike Church, you can actually type klondikechurch.com, but yeah, that's a little confusing sometimes to people who are not on this end of town, so.
Great. Well, now, Paul, if you could give a brief description of the upcoming conference in Baghdad, Florida, where you and Joshua are going to be featured as speakers along with other speakers.
Yeah, the theme of the conference is the church, and we're going to be covering various aspects of the church. I think I don't have the brochure with me in front of me, but there's going to be, I think, 6 plenary messages. Then we're going to have breakout sessions. So it's going to be pretty thorough on the various aspects of the church and its ministry and its connection to the world.
Great. And that is going to be held February 20th through the 22nd in Baghdad, Florida. And to register, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org, and when you scroll down, it's right there at the top of the page, all the details that you need on the conference and how to register and so on. And so we hope as many of you as possible in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience will attend this conference. I love First Love Ministries and the men associated with it. And know that nothing but the best in theology and doctrine and application comes from these fine folks. That's firstloveministries.org, and you will have all of those details. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address.
Okay, see you. I think I kind of shorted, the promotion of the conference, but I could say a little bit more about it. That's okay, brother?
Sure.
Yeah, so the actual title of the conference is called Recovering the Identity of the Church. And so we're going to have, we have the Temple of the Lord, the people, these are the titles of some of the messages, the people of the Scriptures, the family of God, the city on the hill, of recovering the church, the head of the church, and the breakouts are biblical shepherds, confessions, church membership, church and state, church-driven missions, and the enemy of the church. And we'll have Dr. Delcor, We'll have Pastor Joe Jackowitz, I think, will be the first message. And by the way, if you could pray for him, he's having some health difficulties.
Yes, sir.
He may not be able to make it, but we're hoping he is, and he's told us today that he'll be able to make it. So anyway, that's just more everything in a nutshell. I just thought I'd give the subjects and the titles of the messages here.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to our first commercial break. If you have a question for either of our guests, I'm going to allow you to ask any question on the scriptures and theology and church history and so on. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. And now we're going to hear a message from our brand new sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Lebanon Federal Credit Union in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Hello, I'm Daniel Wolford, CEO and president of Lebanon Federal Credit Union, and we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanon Federal Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with 6 convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanon Federal Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LFCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's cvbbs.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Valentine's Day is the day after tomorrow, Friday, but you still have time to send your loved one, your Valentine, a beautiful, breathtaking, mind-blowing, head-turning piece of jewelry. Just go to royaldiadem.com, select a piece of jewelry from their inventory, and have it overnighted by FedEx or other means to overnight the package so that either you or your Valentine will receive it by Valentine's Day. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com. If you want a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, Mother's Day is in May, and that gives more time to have a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created for a loved one, for your mom, for your wife if she is a mom, for your daughter if she is a mom, whoever in your life is a mom, give honor to whom honor is due. And bless that mom in your life with a beautiful piece of jewelry. And you can even have it custom designed, because there is time to do that for a May present. So the added huge bonus to this, if you order jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please, not only bless a loved one with beautiful jewelry, but bless us by enabling us to receive 100% of the profits from that sale. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Paul Nelson and Pastor Joshua Wolnoffer. By the way, have I been pronouncing your name correctly, Pastor Joshua?
You got it right.
Oh, great. And by the way, Pastor Joshua warmed the cockles of my heart before the program and told me that he has been a long-time admirer of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So that blesses me enormously, and I'm so glad to hear it. And also has benefited from the debates that I have arranged and emceed, predominantly with James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So I'm thrilled to hear that news. But we're going to start the program with one of the themes of the conference, and this is actually going to be the theme of a message by Joshua Wolnoffer, the family of God. Can you explain something about the significance of that very title?
Absolutely. I think that we as a modern church have really lost some of the things that make up the heart of true Christianity. And one of the categories that is so integral to this conference, of course, is the church as a family. And we want to address that, and we want to recover this. And I think a lot of this maybe unintentionally goes back to some of the definitions we have of a true church. I mean, if you think like in the Reformation era, like the Augsburg Confession, for instance, and this has been repeated by most of the Reformation tradition, the church is defined as anywhere there's an assembly of believers where the gospel is truly preached, the sacraments, the ordinances are purely observed. But if you take that very literal definition at face value, you could basically walk into a church single file, stare at the back of head, take the Lord's Supper, observe baptism, hear sermons, walk out single file, no, absolutely, nobody. Now, I know the Reformers can't say everything in every document, and a document like that is not entitled, it's not trying to say everything about the church. But I think that idea is often a idea that we still hold to today, that is woefully short of the many blessings God has for the local church as a family. We're so much lone ranger, isolationist Christianity, all I need is me and my ESV attitude amongst many in our tribe in the Reformed world sometimes. And the church really has been so consumeristic, we have lost the privilege of having brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the church. And we're trying to build crowds unintentionally, instead of really trying to mold people into Christ followers who are real disciples who really love one another. So I hope that this particular talk is really going to be a wake-up call and just a call for renewal and a reminder of the preciousness of a local church that does take this idea in the New Testament of the household of God, the family, as an integral part of a healthy body.
Yes, and Pastor Nelson, the people have tragically, in not only our modern day, but it obviously goes back to the biblical era, because there's a warning in the New Testament to not forsake the assembling of the brethren, as some have been in the habit of doing. So it's been going on for a long time, but I think it's probably even more dramatically dominant today, that people have a detached relationship with the church and don't really view it as a family, do they?
You asked me?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of contributing factors to that. I think one is this technology. Everything is online. It kind of works against gathering together and assembling together. You can just download a sermon, listen to it all by yourself, and then you lose all that glorious benefit of gathering together and worshiping together. What I was going to say, the other thing about the assembling together is that people don't like to come together and worship and on Sunday, because you got football going on Sunday. The culture has so many things going on in culture.
Schools have their sporting activities on Sundays too, routinely.
Yeah.
Even for little children.
I mean, even the children. When I was a boy, we didn't play baseball on Sunday. It was only on Saturday. I mean, and that's how much our culture has changed since then.
So you're saying even in the secular society, Little League was not conducted on Sundays?
Even in, yeah, there was respect towards Christianity, and that was, what, 60 years ago or so. You know, so things have really changed. And what was the question again?
I was just saying, why, in your opinion, have many professed Christians not treated the church as the family of God?
Yeah. The other thing is lack of a commitment. There's a lot of, they come to hear a message and go home. And that's their Christianity, you know, for the week, you know, so. They act like a Christian on Sunday and go home, but your identity as a Christian is that you are a Christian. You live your life as a Christian, and that the church is so valuable for your growth and for your maturing as a Christian, for your understanding of truth. This is what God has ordained. He's given us the institution of the church so that we all can mature in the faith, and he's preparing us, you know, for heaven. Like I say, there's a lot. Brother Joshua could probably come in with a lot of other reasons as well, the society now has turned against Christianity. It used, like we were just talking about, it used to be respectful of Christianity. We may not have been a Christian nation, but we had a lot of Christian influence. And that's gone away. The worldly philosophies have changed with, you know, the CRT and the DEI and the LBGT, whatever, you know, all these things have mounted against the church. And now Christianity is looked as almost evil and narrow-minded. So there's a lot of contributing factors in our cultures. It's one of the things I'll be talking about. You know, how did the worldly culture get into the church? You know, and it has. I mean, I see people one time a week at church, and they don't want, you know, there's so many activities going on in the church as part of the church. Like the pastor studies and gives, you know, a discipleship meeting, a theology meeting on Wednesday. You got prayer meeting. You have all these different aspects, and they have no interest in it. It's not, you know, if the Holy Spirit really grabbed a hold of your heart, you would have this great desire to learn. And in my particular church, I find that the women have this desire to learn what the Bible says more than the men. You know, the men, you know, I'm retired now, and the men go out and play golf, and they're not interested in the church. It's, the world is competing with Christians and their time and their efforts and who they are as Christians. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Oh yeah, that, in fact, that's been an element of the church for as long as I remember. Even if you watch some of the old Western movies from decades ago, the earlier part of the 20th century, and you'll very often hear the rugged, manly cowboy say something like, "I'm not much of a praying man, but, you know,
yeah.
I'm not much of a church going man, never have been, but," and that was so supposed to be something that we would admire in a man. The true church of Jesus Christ, when it's properly and truthfully opening up and exegeting the Word of God, there are a lot of demands upon the men of the church to be manly and masculine and so on. But anyway, Pastor Joshua, a lot of this has been exacerbated because ever since coronavirus mandates came down and churches began towing the line of the leftist government to shut down their churches, and people got used to that. I still know people, some of whom are my close friends, who have shocked me because I thought that they had more biblical integrity about this, but it would shock me and say, "Oh, I don't go to church anymore. I just watch worship services on TV, and I have a little Bible study going in my house and that kind of a thing." But this is not worship or being obedient to the scriptures about being submissive to local elders, is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't fulfill the New Testament in these kind of setups. You know, you think the Lord's Prayer, we're praying our Father. The Lord's Supper is a communal gathering
right. Together.
You can't honor your elders. I mean, I think this whole idea just defies the very identity of what a Christian is. You know, our ontology, our being as believers. When you read the New Testament, you see us defined as brothers and sisters, beloved, dear friends. You read Paul's letters, or you read Romans 16, you see this list of greetings, or maybe the end of 3 John, where John says, you know, to greet the believers by name. There's this kind of intimacy that's there. And I think consumerism, selfish isolationism have both so just drastically impacted the way we think about churches. I mean, you think of the language of church hopping. Church swapping and this kind of stuff. And we talk about the church like it's changing gin or something like that. Or I used to shop at this grocery store, now I'm going to this one. It's so consumer mentality. What can I get out of your church? I mean, when I have newer Christians sometimes who are moving to our area, and they say, what can your church do for me? And I'm always like, well, first off, it's not my church, it's your church. And, you know, there's a lot that you're asking in that question. Let's think about what the church is. I would love to share with you that, you know, and answer that. But they're thinking like, does your church have Zumba? Does your church have,
you know, I don't even know what that is. Is that one of the internet ways of watching worship? What's Zumba?
Is not. Zumba is like an athletic, it's like CrossFit for women, I think, or something of that nature.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you know, this is the kind of stuff these are the questions our generation is asking, because we have, I remember Eugene Peterson wrote a book years ago about how the pastors, he warned, pastors have become shopkeepers trying to keep them students. And we have lost really the integrity of the gospel and the very identity of a church being the brothers and sisters with the elder brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, being in Christ, and how you can't have Christ without his family. I mean, these are not optional. Just the disregard for the creeds of the faith, you know, whether you're quoting the Apostles' Creed. You know, we believe in, you know, the Nicene Creed about one holy Christian, one apostolic church, and one holy Catholic church. Or you're saying, we believe in the communion of the saints. These kind of things are impossible. While there is, yes, a spiritual communion and there's spiritual Catholicity, the whole New Testament was written for real people living together, walking in the way of Christ. And not lone rangers who are only united spiritually.
Amen. And Paul, would you not agree that there is probably a small number of believers out there who are really treating the brothers and sisters in Christ in their congregation like family members, which they are, and are not going to be on the ready when a brother or sister in the congregation is in crisis, needs help at midnight with something that is urgent. You know, you could go through a whole host of things that a family, a biological family, how they would function. And of course, those families don't function that way all the time either. There are there are siblings estranged from each other and siblings estranged from parents and vice versa, and very often over insanely trivial reasons. But we've got to really start reflecting the idea of a real family, because we're a spiritual family is no less real than a biological one, is it?
No, I mean, we're supposed to be members one of another. And I'm a very strong believer in church membership. I believe that started with the primitive church in the upper room, where there were 120 names. They're actually names of the members of that church. And part of that membership is it brings us into a closeness relationship, you know, praying for one another and being aware of our needs, helping one another, and so forth. And that is like a family, a regular family. We are the family of God. And so I think in Romans 12, when it talks about the various parts of the body, how we all have different gifts and how they're all supposed to work together as to one body, and you can't, if someone doesn't have a foot, you can't, you know, demean them for not having a foot, or because you have an arm, or, you know, they break up the body into different pieces. We're all one body together, and we're to work in harmony together. And a lot of folks don't understand that. They don't. Christianity is something that they do. It's not something that they are. You know, they go to church and do a few few responsibilities, but are not part of that local body and the unity of that local body. One of the things that I see that's going against the local body is now I see churches, they go online. So if you have a prayer request, you submit it online, and then they send it out by email to everybody, and the personal touch is lost. You know, then the pastor's not going out to the people to talk to the people, to pray with the people, and they're doing everything online. And I think that's a huge impediment to the family life of a church.
No, let me give you a little pushback on that. Could it be beneficial for a church to do both, as long, like, for instance, never do something online to the neglect of the biblical pattern of, you know, face-to-face fellowship and counsel and all that, and prayer meeting, but to offer something like that to the general public as a way of, as a vehicle to invite them to visit your congregation with the repeated statement, this is not a replacement for the church. You cannot just rely solely on watching a talking head on a screen praying for you or preaching to you. The Bible says that, in fact, we must obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would be unhelpful for you. If you're going to be obedient to this text in Hebrews 13:17, you've got to be under submission to local elders who keep watch over your souls. And as far as church hopping goes, I mean, I understand when people are looking for a church, they haven't settled on finding a church that they believe meets the standards of the Bible. But there's one thing to be earnestly looking for a scriptural church and just never wanting to submit yourselves to any group of elders. You're just bouncing, and you feel perhaps safe that you will never be under discipline that way, or you don't want the burden of being committed to a specific body.
I think that's it right there, that word committed. I believe that's a pivotal word, because when you're serious about a body of Christ, you join that membership and you become under the discipline of the church and also under the eldership of the church. And churches that don't have membership seem to lose that structure. And I think it's very important to, when a person joins a church, that they're entering into that commitment. So it's like marriage, you know, it's a commitment, a lifelong commitment to somebody.
Now, how could you possibly be obedient to that scripture that I just read without having membership? Because if somebody were to challenge you, you're not obeying what the elders are teaching. Well, they're not my elders. I'm not a member. And well, then you've got to be a member somewhere, because the Bible commands you to. I mean, go ahead. I interrupted you, Paul. Oh, in fact, you know something, Paul? We have to go to our midway break. So we'll pick up where we left off. If anybody has any questions, send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast. and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, folks. Before I return to my discussion with Paul Nelson and Joshua Wollnoffer, I have some important reminders for you. If you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, folks, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check from your post office to a physical address the old-fashioned way, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church anywhere in the world, parachurch ministry, perhaps it's a business, a private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's a special event. As long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please always remember, I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners to cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church where you're a member in order to bless us financially. Please never do that. In other words, never give your own church less money than you normally give your church because you want to bless us financially. This program was first launched with some primary purposes, and two of those purposes were to be a support platform, a right arm and helping hand to the biblically faithful local pastor and the biblically faithful local church. I never want to do anything to harm in any way the biblically faithful local pastor or church, including financially. So don't give your own church less money in order to bless us. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. But if you really do love the show and you don't want it to disappear and you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you really want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Klondike Church in Pensacola, Florida, well, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find biblically faithful churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So that may be you too, no matter where in the world you live. If you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guests, Dr. Paul Nelson and Pastor Joshua Wallnoffer. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And today we are, in addition to promoting the upcoming conference, we are discussing the theme of that conference, and that is recovering the identity of the church. And once again, that conference is going to be held coming up very soon, February 20th through the 22nd at First Baptist Church of Baghdad, Florida. They have a very impressive lineup of speakers, many of whom I've had on this program before, some of whom I have not. In fact, actually, only one of them, as I look at this, I have not had on the program. Perhaps two. I can't even remember if I've ever interviewed Tom Smith before. I've known him for quite a while, and I've loved it and enjoyed his friendship and fellowship, but I don't know if I've ever interviewed Tom. But the lineup includes Dr. Edward Del Core, President of Department of Christian Defense, Dr. Paul Nelson, one of my guests today, President of Grace Bible University, my dear friend, pastor of Christ Bible Church in Dublin, California, Joe Jackowitz, who's also the founder of First Love Ministries, Austin Huggins, pastor of Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida, which is the home of Chapel Library. He's also the vice president of First Love Ministries. Tom Smith, who is now the president of First Love Ministries. Joshua Wallnoffer, my other guest today, pastor of Klondike Church of Pensacola, Florida. Jeff Pollard, it's been a while since I've had Jeff on the show. I'd love to have him back on. Pastor of Mount Zion Bible Church, alongside of Austin Huggins in Pensacola, Florida, which is, again, the home of Chapel Library. And Frank Maxson, I've never interviewed him. I would love to have the opportunity to do so. A veteran missionary in Malawi. For more details, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org, and you can register for this free conference. Now, Paul, I think I may have been in mid-sentence, and you wanted to follow up on something I was saying about those that were enslaved to their computer screens or TV sets and don't even participate physically in a local church. And then we can move on to the broader picture as far as our theme today goes.
Yeah, I think you had brought up Hebrews 13:17.
Right.
And that text, what's presupposed to that text, there's a lot going on in that text. And it presupposes that in the local church, there is a community where there are leaders, and they're acknowledged leaders, and they're elected leaders, and they have authority in that church, and that authority is accountable to God. So, and it tells the members of that church to submit to them, you know, in spiritual matters. So, I think you can't even begin to interpret that text without this context of the community of the local church. In other words, there's no such thing, as I think you pointed out earlier, as a freelance Christian. We're to be members of a local community and be under the discipline and submit to the elders of that church, and they watch for our souls. So that's a very important text and very vital for our understanding of the church.
Well, let me go to a couple of listener questions before I move on to a topic change, which is not really a change necessarily, but a broadening of the topic that we are dealing with today. And let's see, we have an anonymous listener who wants to know, yes, we are to be submissive to elders of a local church, but can this not be dangerous if those leaders are not biblically knowledgeable or charlatans? Don't we need discernment to not become slaves in a cult? Let's start with Joshua this time, since we just heard from Paul.
Absolutely. So I think at the end of the day, we have biblical commands, and there's always what if. Every imperative in the New Testament, God gives us commands, and we can always put these things out there. The listener's right. You have to have discernment. Unfortunately, there are a lot of ministers who maybe, number one, have not met the qualification in the New Testament for being an elder, being a deacon servant in the church. Maybe are self-ordained. There's a lot of that, you know, that they have not. You know, I think there's a biblical precedent that churches plant churches. And unfortunately, in our country, while there's exceptions to this rule, many times there's a lot of churches that develop not in a biblical way. So I think it's important and an imperative for every Christian to be united to a healthy biblical local church. At the same time, if your eyes have been awakened and you're finding out or realizing as you're studying God's word, you're not in a healthy church, you know, you have a responsibility still. So maybe for this listener, it's important to say, we can always fear, you know, schism or being led astray, of course. But I think just like the pastor has an imperative, elders have an imperative to preach the word, the sheep, the flock have an imperative to actively receive the word of God. And of course, if there's a problem, or you're feeling like there's something unbiblical, the first and only person you should be going to is, in fact, to those leaders to start that conversation about, hey, this is what you preach, this is what I'm hearing, and from God's word. And of course, a godly person is going to listen and shepherd you. A charlatan is going to lord it over you, throw you out of the office, tell you they don't want to hear from you. This is always a danger, even in healthy churches. Jesus had a Judas, right? But that should not ever keep us from keeping the very clear instructions of the New Testament. So what if they exist, but we still have an imperative to follow God and be faithful and trust that God will guide us in this. And that Jesus said, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church he is building. So don't operate in fear. That would be my real expectation. Instead, have discernment, be in the word, be a self-feeder, but also follow all of scripture in this way.
And Paul, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, we have clear qualifications for elders in the scriptures in Titus and in 1 Timothy. And the elders are under those are very, very high standards, but if you are a member, you can look at those qualifications and see if your pastor measures up to it, or at least to a large degree measures up to it. We also have in church government, I'm a congregationalist, so if the pastor, if there's some scandalous sin or there's some error in the doctrine or so forth, the church can remove that pastor from office. And I've just seen a board of elders in an eldership role church where the other elders removed a pastor for some improprieties. So there are some safeguards that God has made for the church to correct that.
Now, when you said you are a congregationalist, do you mean a Reformed Baptist who has congregationalist polity, or do you mean something else by that?
No, congregational church government. Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, you are a Reformed Baptist, aren't you?
I am.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was trying to clarify, because there are congregationalists that are not Reformed Baptists.
Yes. Yeah. So I was just referring to church government, not
right.
Not a congregational denomination.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even just another kind of evangelical. One of the things I love about Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where I am a member, it's a new church plant. We emphasize the congregational aspect of our polity. And one of the things that I love about our weekly Lord's Supper is that those in the pews that day before we partake of the supper, they are warned very graciously and lovingly that if they are not a believer in Jesus Christ, they must let the elements pass by. And if they are not a member of a Bible-believing church and not under discipline in that church, they are to let the elements pass by. And only under certain circumstances, if they are not a member of a church or between churches, like they may be even considering joining our congregation, if they have spoken with the pastor, they are permitted to partake. But there is a strong emphasis on a connection to the body of Christ, which goes right along with our theme of the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I'm not an open community. I know this is controversial, but I very simply stated, I believe that the Lord's Supper is a church ordinance, mm-hmm. and so it should be partaken by the church members. And that, in the church that I pastored for 20 years, that was a real difficult stand to make, because there's a lot of good Christians that are in good standing with another local church that really question why you deny me the Lord's Supper. And I would just say, you know, we believe it's a church ordinance, so you should partake of the Lord's Supper in your own church. And we didn't want to make it any further than that, but I know we got in a lot of trouble for that position.
Well, how about if you have a conference speaker? If you're having the Lord's Supper that day, is he barred from the table?
Yes, for the same reason. Nothing about his Christianity at all, or nothing about discipline at all. Just that the way we view the ordinance as being a church ordinance, mm-hmm. you know, for the local church.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, because now I'm in trouble.
You're not in trouble with me. I think these things are areas of liberty for members of the body of Christ to lovingly debate over and disagree and so on. At least we all agree, at least on this broadcast I'm talking about, that a willy-nilly invitation to partake in the elements of the Lord's Supper to anyone who is present, which many people don't even bother to give a warning, such as the one I mentioned, that's out of the question and a dangerous practice.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible is very clear that there have been serious consequences to taking the Lord's Supper inappropriately. Let's see. I'll take one more question before we switch themes. We have Joy in Winter Garden, Florida, who asks, if there is no Reformed church nearby, what are the bare minimum elements of a church theologically that must be present before one joins it, in your opinion? I will start with Josh this time.
Sure. So that's a good question, and that's a reality. And of course, the early church was not reformed in the sense of they held to the 1689 confession, because it didn't exist yet. We believe that, in fact, they held to those doctrines. They didn't have the label. And I think there are wonderful brothers and sisters and wonderful evangelical churches that they have different emphasis, different nuances. It doesn't mean that they per se would even be opposed to the spirit of the Reformed confession. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to be a part of a body. And even if you find that you find yourself in a place that there's very weak congregation, I think that is a vital practice for every Christian to be committed and to do their best to help that church in a healthy way, with the understanding that, God willing, if this is an evangelical church, and I don't mean politically, but I mean a truly gospel church, where there are biblical leadership, they honor and respect the Lord, they respect his table and the ordinance of baptism, they're keeping sacraments. I think that we have a responsibility to try to support that work. And unfortunately, I have met some saints over the years where they've been in a congregation where they have been in congregations where there is just no other options, and the church is in fact apostate. It is a part of maybe a mainline movement that has literally left the gospel, and there is not other options in their community. I think this is where you start praying and seeking for the Lord to begin a new church plant. And you have that responsibility as well. Some saints get up and move. You know, they'll move from their community. But I do think there is something to praying for the Lord to begin a biblically faithful church in that area. But I personally would not advise someone to, well, I'm not going to go because they're just weak evangelicals, but they're not, and they don't hold to all the points of the 1689 or whatever. I would not ever tell someone, well, just forsake the assembling on that for that reason. We are theologically spoiled in the USA, in most of our country, in comparison to many places around the world, where there is in fact a desert of any kind of gospel wind, and some of that, you know, that 1040 window. And the saints there would rejoice to have the most basic church that would not have many of the wonderful blessings we have today. So I would just keep that perspective in mind, do your best to be faithful in what you've got. And of course, if these are in fact not gospel churches, these are churches that, you know, the saying goes, Ichabod has been written in the door, the Lord has, you know, blown out the candle. Well, it's time to really seek the Lord to plant a church. Start sharing your faith, which we should be doing anyhow, and pray for the Lord to begin a work. Many things have done that, and God has blessed.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, how close is Winter Garden from to Pensacola?
Without knowing where Winter Garden is, I'm assuming it's probably 8 to 10 hours away.
Oh, we are in the
Pensacola, so it's like another state. Yeah.
Okay. And Paul, did you have something to say? I heard you chime in, I think. Perhaps not.
What was the original question? We've covered a lot of.
The listener Joy in Winter Garden, Florida, was saying, "What's the bare minimum of doctrine and theology and practice that a congregation must have before you join it if there is no Reformed church near you?"
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I get myself in a lot of situations where they find a church that's not, they're sound doctrinally in a lot of areas, but not what we would call Reform. But the pastor does feed them. And so if you have a choice whether not to go to church or go to a church that maybe is not all the way there doctrinally, but yet he can feed you spiritually from the pulpit and opening up and expositing the word of God, I say, by all means, go there because you're getting fed. You know, and you know, I'm not happy about the doctrine, but they're close enough. They preach a sound gospel. Do they preach the gospel? And if the gospel is sound, then I say, go and get fed at that church.
Yes, and
they might not have many choices. There may be only one or two churches in a small town.
Right. And you never know what kind of positive influence you may be to pastors and elders of a local congregation by introducing them to the doctrines of grace, as long as you are doing so with humility, remaining submissive to the fact that that church has a certain standard, perhaps confession or constitution, at least. You know, you can't be a troublemaker in a church, but at the same time, you can be humble and gracious in the way that you approach your elders, and you know, give them books to read, and give them sermon audio recordings, and you can go on and on and on about that. But let's switch over, and I believe this is one of the topics that Paul is preaching on, recovering the church from the rubble of culture. If you could explain that.
Well, rubble wasn't my word, but I like it. It's just culture. I look at culture as worldliness, you know, and there's so many different avenues that the church is being tempted to partner with the world in different things. And they think it's, they justify it by, you know, getting a better audience, getting a better hearing for the word of God. And so they make compromises with the world. And so, you know, I think we have to realize that the world is not part of the church, that there is a separateness to the church. We're not to, you know, there's so many verses that tell us to do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, to come out from them and be separate, you know, from the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Be not conformed to the world. And it's just the Bible is full of these statements about how we're not to be conformed to this world or be any part of this world. We are separate from the world. And I think a lot of churches don't want to come to grips with that reality, because then they're going to be labeled bigots, and they're closed-minded, and all those worldly philosophies are going to come against them. And but we're not part of this world. You know, Christ told us that they would hate us if they truly know what we believe, and they're unbelievers, and they haven't been regenerated in the heart. They're going to hate us. And we want to make compromises in our church. And it could be, it could be something that might be a liberty of conscience that you were referring to a while ago, Chris, that say for like music, you know, to me, I came up in the 60s. So rock and roll music, to me, it represents everything, the rebellion against the status quo, the drugs, the immorality, all this stuff, you know, is that's the way I look at rock and roll, because I was raised in it. And I know other people aren't like that. So there's some Christian liberty in that, in what certain churches allow in contemporary music. But there's other things like, you know, you have the woke mentality, you have the DEI mentality, all this. The world's trying to get in and make us activists for them, as if we're going to partner with the world to fix the world's problems, you know. And you don't partner with an enemy of God. And that's what they want, to turn the church into be an activist for worldly philosophies. And I'm going to be dealing with different things like that, but I think the main issue is that the world, we must understand that we're to have no part of the world. We're completely separate from the world. And the Bible makes that crystal clear.
And Joshua, I'll have you pick up from there. I agree with what Paul said. But the complete picture, though, isn't it to be just like Jesus? Jesus was separate from sinners, but he was also a friend of sinners. And there are different ways in which he remained separate, and there are different ways in which he continued friendships. Isn't that important for us too?
I think it absolutely is. One of the things that, you know, there's low-hanging fruit in this conversation. We can obviously bring up when we're talking about rubble things like pronouns in the church,
yeah,
the alphabet mafia, LGBTQ, TIAP, rainbow mafia. You can start talking about wokeness and worldliness. But I think at the same time, you're right. We always want to have this balance that we are convictionally clear strong, articulate, but they still know we are Christians by our love. And we have to, without a doubt, stand on the truth and articulate that truth, because that's the only thing that's going to save anybody or disciple our people, for that matter. At the same time, the truth causes division. We don't have to be unnecessarily divisive. And the church is exclusive in the gospel message. We're not going to compromise that, but we are inclusive in our gospel call. You know, we're going to welcome sinners as long as they're going to repent and change. So I love what Dr. Milton shared there. I think it's a great truth. And we, everything he said is right on. And like when you look at the situation in front of us, and what does Christ have with Belial? What does the table of the Lord have with the table of demons? Yet we don't want to leave people at the table of demons. We want to see them come to the table of the Lord. So Jesus, obviously the perfect example. So I love that you point that out, Chris. That's great.
Yes, and the only prohibition I am aware of about who you as a Christian socialize with or have dinner with is having a dinner with a professing Christian who is living an unrepentant, ungodly life or is a charlatan. Am I right on that, Paul?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood in this, but, you know, as far as the gospel, the truth of the gospel, that there's no barrier between bringing, you know, a sinner into the congregation or into the auditorium to hear the preaching. We all would love that. I'm not making a distinction between our message to sinners and our love for sinners. I mean, we're to love our enemies, you know. My distinction is the practices and the philosophies of the world coming into the church. That's my distinction. What kind of practices and innovations are we bringing into the church? You know, Nadab and Abednego, they tried, they drifted from the regulatory principle, you know, of the all sufficiency of Scripture, and they started to innovate and did their own things. They offered incense when it was the wrong day. They offered incense together when it's only supposed to be one. They just innovated their own things. They wanted to worship God the way they thought they should worship. And in the end, they offered a strange fire. They took the incense burning coals from the wrong place, and God told them to take it from the burnt offering altar. And God killed them for it, mm-hmm. You know, because they were very, I think they were very aggressive on innovating the worship of God and what God had prescribed. So I guess my point of view is the all-sufficiency of Scripture. And when we have, we make excuses to bring in the world, like, for instance, culture, nowadays it's culture must be catered to. We must be relevant in the culture. And what they're really doing is opening the doors for all the practices of the world, you know, coming in. And by saying that, for instance, taking the example of the woman is supposed to submit to her husband, which is a clear biblical principle, but they'll say, well, that culture was different back then. The culture now is that they're equal partners and there's no such thing as a woman's submission. So these are the things that are creeping into the church. So, but what Joshua just said, you know, I love it. I make a further distinction than that, because once it comes to the gospel, the love of Christ is to go out to all. Definitely.
Yes, I've always had a private desire to sneak into a Roman Catholic church and hang a sign where they have the candles lit before the statues, a sign that says, in loving memory of Nadab and Abihu. but I've thought about it. I never will do it. So calm down, everybody. We are not to try to lure goats into the family of God by appealing to the desires and tastes of goats. We're not to even trick them, as it were, by offering them something that appeals to their sinful appetites, and then just mixing in a message from the Bible and mentioning Jesus when you're worshiping. And even Reformed churches can be known for doing that, and they're not really behaving like they believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, because we know that it is God who brings the increase. It is God that draws the loss to himself. We don't need to use artificial means, and even at times wicked means, to lure the lost into our midst. But anyway, we have to go to our final break. And if you have a question, send it in before we run out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary.
I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the Secure Calm Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. Secure Calm provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N, an added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's cvbbs.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
And don't forget, folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call my very dear longtime friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, no matter where you live in the United States, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you mention to Dan Buttafuoco that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we have a question from Darlene in Bayshore, Long Island, New York. And Darlene asks, could each of your guests give their favorite preachers, one from the past and one from the present? And we'll start with Joshua this time.
For sure. So I think in terms of maybe favorite preachers that I just really have enjoyed reading their writing in the past. So I read a lot of John Stott, and Dr. Stott, I think, was he wrote a book, Between Two Worlds, that, of course, he's contemporary-ish to us, but he...
The Cross of Christ is another one.
Yeah, that is a great, great book. He wrote commentaries on most of the New Testament. So he's a very gifted preacher. I highly recommend pastors to read his literature. You know, there's a few points we disagree with him on. Of course, he was Church of England and came to an annihilationist position later in his ministry. But really a very gifted preacher who could exposit the text well, bring it to the gospel. You want to go to older preachers, I think you can still read the sermons of men like George Whitfield or, of course, Calvin. We have access to so many of his sermons. They're very warm. I love John Chrysostom. You know, I love, again, you know, you're going back 1,600 years or 1,700 years there, but what a powerhouse expositor back in the day. So very grateful, you know, for the influence of those eras. In terms of reading sermons, and then in the modern era, you know, we're just so blessed with ministries like sermonaudio.com, having YouTube at our disposal to be able to listen to contemporary preachers. I really cut my teeth as a new Christian listening to John MacArthur. I'm so indebted to him as a brand new baby believer, just eating and, you know, eating daily from the cassette tapes. I remember I had a professor who gave me a box of the cassette tapes. And, man, I grew like wildfire listening to that stuff. Just learning how to think biblically, developing a basic biblical worldview. So I'm always grateful for him. And, you know, there's so many great, just solid, reformed expositors out there today, you know. I've really appreciated Dr. White and his work as you know, a pastor and as an apologist. So he's someone that makes you think. You know, I appreciate him. I know he's a very good friend of this show. And there's just so many to mention. Brody Balcom, you know, all the people, R.C. Sproul. I mean, you know, you can just listen to R.C. And he was a great teacher, but I think he's a hidden gem of a preacher. If you actually listen to his sermons, they were maybe much better than even his lectures, to be honest, for the soul. So I'll stop there. I can keep rambling.
And it's great news that R.C. Sproul is now a Reformed Baptist. But we also have to just quickly remind our listeners, we have to pray for John MacArthur, who, as he ages, continues to battle serious health problems. And also, my longtime, very dear friend, Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You, is home recuperating from a bone marrow transplant and chemotherapy. He has blood cancer. So please pray for him as he recovers and pray that we hear praise reports on his restoration to health. And Paul, your favorite preacher or preachers from the past and present?
Well, you know, from the past, of course, I love the Puritans, and two of my favorite ones are, you know, Thomas Manton and John Owen. And but there's a lot of good Puritans and a lot of collections of their sermons. And of course, Charles Spurgeon, right? We forgot him.
Yeah, Prince of Preachers.
He's awesome. So those are the past. More recently, my mentor, Dr. Downey, I love him.
Oh, yeah.
He is just a fantastic preacher.
I've got to try to get him back on the program. It's been a while since he's been on. I've got to have him back on.
Yeah, there you go. And L. Martin, when I first came into the Doctrines of Grace, L. Martin had a tremendous influence on me. So, and then of course all the ones that Joshua was saying are my favorites too.
Well, I'd like you, Joshua, to give my audience a minute of summary of what you most want etched in their hearts and minds today, and then Paul, you could do the same thing when Joshua is finished.
Okay.
Well, again, just want to say thank you for having me on. I really praise God for Joe Jackowitz, Austin Huggins, the opportunity to be a part of this conference. These are just wonderful men who love the church, love the spreading of the gospel around the world. And I hope that this conference will just be another opportunity to bring the saints together and just revive a love for the local church, revive a love for the body of Christ, for faithful, long-term skilled. Again, Eugene Peterson's the little statement there, obedience in the same direction, just consistent, faithful discipleship. And, you know, I've been a pastor 22 years, and I still believe the local church is God's plan A. And all churches have pain, fault, trouble, but we have the greatest Lord. And there's nothing better than having a loving church family of saints, of brothers and sisters, of fathers in the church, mothers in the church, and babies in the church all together, just glorifying Christ. So I really hope maybe this program will be an encouragement to people to just sink their feet down in their local church, love the people, love their leaders, be patient with one another, and may Christ be glorified as he builds this church.
And Paul, if you could give us maybe about 30 seconds, because we're rapidly running out of time.
Okay, the burden on me right now is that I know there's a lot of people that want to find a church, a good local church, a sound church with faithful pastors and leaders, and join that church once you find it. It's imperative for your growth as a Christian.
Amen. Well, folks, don't forget that the conference that my two guests are speaking at with other speakers on the theme Recovering the Identity of the Church is being held February 20th through the 22nd, coming up right around the corner at First Baptist Church of Baghdad, Florida. To register, go to firstloveministries.org, firstloveministries.org, and all the details are right there at the top of the page. Just scroll down a little and you'll find them immediately. I want all of you to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.